Blog Talk Radio.
I was a drifter, I had nowhere to go. I was hanging by thread, dust and bone. Every angel I knew was singing, "Son, come home." But the melody was hard to sing along. Oh God, you my deliverer.
Father God, we come before you this morning. I ask you to cover this tan line with the blood covering of the blood of Jesus. I ask you to cover me, my husband, every minister on this property, every worker that comes on this property. I ask you to cover each person on this tan line with the blood covering of the blood of Jesus this morning. I ask you to cover their families. I ask you to cover their relatives and their children and their spouses. And Father God, I ask you that this teaching would, they won't be afraid once they hear it to identify with the truth. And if by chance they're a victim of this, that they will not be afraid to seek help. Because this is truly an area that if you've been a victim in this area, you need help. And I mean you need some serious help. Because if you're a victim, your soul has been violated. Your soul has been penetrated by evil. What do I define as evil? demons, witches, evil human spirits, and I'm going to add something else, workers of iniquity, to that. So I'm going to go ahead and I want you to listen. Holy Spirit, I ask you to really help me with this, because this is an area I really did not want to venture into. I didn't want to mess with it because I assumed everybody knew it. But I think deep down in my heart, I knew that they didn't. But it's a dangerous area. I know what I'm opening myself up to. But Father God, I'm doing this willingly as an act of my own will. And I just ask you to protect us and help me. Brothers and sisters, I'm approaching this area not because of any other reason than God allowed me to help somebody, and in helping them obtain their freedom, I discovered that a lot of people were bound in this region or in this area. I'm going to give you some scriptures. 2 Corinthians 11, 3 through 15. Understand this morning that the Holy Ghost is helping me, because I haven't even had time to. I think in one of my books, 1, 2, 3, 4, Integrated Healing Prayer Ministry Teaching, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6, I have some teaching on this, but I didn't even go there because I know this in my spirit, man, in my soul, in my heart. I know this. And I haven't had to deal with it in a while. 2 Corinthians 11, 3 through 15 says, "But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity." You hear me? The simplicity that is in Christ. The Bible says, "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached." But now look at this. It also says, "Or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received." It goes on to say, "Or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might bear well with him." This is the Apostle Paul talking here. "For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest, revealed among you in all things." Oh, wow. "The blood of Jesus." Go! "Have I committed an offense in abasing myself, that ye might be exalted, because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? Other churches taking wages of them to do you service, and when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man for that which was lacking to me, the brethren, which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the region of Achaia. Wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth. But what I do, I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion. that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be to their works. Now, I want you to look here, Galatians 5, 19 through 21. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, craft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, envying. Now look here at the next word, murders. Goodness. Reveling. And such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Says, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. But deliver us from evil. But deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. It goes on to say, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Brothers and sisters, Mark chapter 16, verse 17 says, Jesus is talking here, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Jesus said, in my name, shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues, and so forth. Through the Bible, in particular the New Testament, it says, cast out devils. Luke 11, 14 through 28. And he was casting out a devil, Jesus, and it was dumb. And it came to pass when the devil was gone out, but wondered. But some of them said, speaking about Jesus, he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. And others tempting him sought of him a sign from heaven. brothers and sisters, I think when I do this again, I'm going to give church history, and I'm going to show you that, that devils were cast out before Jesus died. Okay? The Jews had exorcists, and they cast out devils. But in this verse right here, it says they accused Jesus of casting out a devil through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. Brothers and sisters are, well, let's go on. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 22, it says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Matthew 8:16. When the even was come, they brought unto him, Jesus, many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits, what, brothers and sisters? With his word, and healed all that were sick. Matthew 8:31. Even the devils knew how they were supposed to come out. So the devils besought Jesus, saying, if thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. Matthew 9:34. Pharisees said, remember them, the unbelievers, the ones that God used Satan and them to crucify Christ so that we could be saved. Matthew 9:34. But the Pharisees said, he casteth out devils through the prince of the devils. Matthew 10:8. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. 24. Again, when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but even the unbelievers knew the principle was cast the devils out. Jesus said in Matthew 12:27, in rebuttal and really in cynicism and sarcasm, he said to the Pharisees, he said, but if I by Beelzebub, obviously Jesus knew that Beelzebub could do something. He didn't refute it. He did not refute it. He didn't say it couldn't happen. Jesus said, and if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. Matthew 12:28. Jesus said, but if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Mark 1:34. And he, Jesus, healed many that were sick of divers diseases, cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. Mark 1:39. And he, Jesus, preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and cast out devils. Mark 3:15. When Jesus was telling the disciples what he was leaving them with, he said, power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils. Healing the sick and casting out devils, Jesus said. Mark 6:13 says, and they cast out many devils and anointed with oil So we could even say casting out demons and anointing with oil is good and part of Jesus' plan. And they cast out many devils and anointed with oil, many that were sick, and healed them. Jesus and his disciples came upon somebody, and the disciples said, "Master, we saw one doing what? Casting out devils in thy name." Casting out devils in the name of Jesus. You know what Jesus said? I didn't put it there, but he said, "No man can hardly be against us casting out devils in my name." And then it says in Mark chapter 16:9, "Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene." Ain't that awesome? "Whom he had what? Cast out seven devils." Mark 16:17. "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they," what? "Cast out devils." Luke 9:49. Again, the gospel repeating itself. "We saw one casting out devils in thy name." Devils. Luke 11:18. "If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub." Satan is never the devil out of anybody. Satan will bring about an exchange. He will cause a lesser devil to be exchanged for bigger devils. Remember that. Jesus even said in Luke 11:20, "If I, with the finger of God, cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you." The finger of God, I can point at them and they come out. That's what Jesus said. But Jesus is saying repeatedly, "I cast out demons, and the fruit of my casting out demons is the kingdom of God comes upon you." The reason we on this line this morning, I had a very sad experience yesterday. Brothers and sisters, I went through the scriptures. Jesus, the Bible, the word of God says, cast out devils. I was in Orlando, Florida one time, maybe 6 years ago. And I went to this church, my husband and I. And to tell you the truth, I was contemplating. God told me to go there, and I always go and sit in the church first before I will go and talk to a pastor and begin to tell them that God sent me there to bring deliverance or whatever reason. In this church, the Lord said, it was a big church too. Well, no, it wasn't big. It was only about maybe 400 or 500 people. The Lord said, "I want you to watch something." So I said, "Okay." He said, "I want you to observe and I want you to learn something." I said, "Okay." In this church, after the preaching and everything, they called for deliverance team come up, stand across the front. And they asked for people that needed prayer for deliverance. And I thought, wow, okay, God, I'm loving this. And the people that came down for deliverance, I saw the people that was deliverance team grab the people up and put a full body hug on them and begin to rock them and shake them. And they, I went up then, I was so disturbed, I went up to the one of the people up there. I said, what's happening? And they said, this is deliverance. Do you need prayer? I said, no, sir. No, sir. I just had never seen anything like this, and I wanted to know what was happening. So I went back to my seat, me and Brother Joe, and we just looked. And after a while, they would rock them and with this hug, and the people would start dropping on the floor. God, what is this? He said, this is what they're telling people is deliverance. And it was like pandemonium up there. People was all loud, all around the people, and they were dropping on the floor. And I said, wow, this is one of the biggest demonstrations I've seen of soulish realm power, openly in demonstration. And the people on the floor were screaming and hollering, and demons was, and there was, and the church was all like, oh wow, God, whoa, 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 whoa. And I'm thinking, I'm binding up every transference of spirit in the name of Jesus. I cover me and Brother Joe with a blood covering. Father God, I break the power of any of these demons to transfer influence. And then the people got up, the clothes was all crazy looking. And I said, this is awful. So person that I had went up to talk to, I said, I need to talk to your pastor. You got a problem. And so, make a long story short, the pastor was the one that initiated that. I was able to get the person that I had went to that was over that team, but they said the pastor there was too busy to talk to anybody, and that I could get an appointment in 3 weeks or something. I said, lady, in 3 weeks, I'll be going back to South Carolina. I said, you got a problem. You got a problem now. And I found out that the pastor of this particular church was a musician and a kind of like renowned musician. And so I did get a chance to take that one person through deliverance, and I told them, you know, you got a big responsibility here. And what finally happened is something bad happened at that church. Something really, really bad happened there. The pastor was found to be in adultery. The church split. And I knew that was going to happen. Because you see, brothers and sisters, we are soulish by nature. But we don't possess a solely fleshly nature. Because flesh is what makes up the body, the physical body. And the physical body alone, the flesh, has no thinking capacity. The flesh which makes up the body does have needs such as hunger, thirst, weariness, a need for sleep. And so the flesh communicates those needs in a pretty efficient manner. So, the combination of the spirit body of a person is what gives our consciousness, maybe, and what gives us our personality. And brothers and sisters, the soul is what has to be restored back to God. And the word soulish is best like translated by the Greek word psychikos. And it's an adjective of the noun soul, translated from psyche. Trying to describe our soulish nature is sometimes used by natural, the word natural or sensual. But that Greek word meaning soulish is derived directly from the root noun psyche or soul. The Bible says, but the natural soulish man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. In most cases, when a person is operating soulish realm nature, they generally do not have the ability to discern properly. So, I'm not trying to get deep on you or nothing like that, but I'm trying to help you understand that there is a natural, and the Bible says it in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. It says, let me go there. It says, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and make it manifest, reveal the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. The body, the Bible says, is sown a natural body or a soulish body. It's raised a spiritual body. So there's a natural soulish body, and there's a spiritual body. The Bible says the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam, Jesus, was made a quickening spirit. It says, howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. 1 Corinthians 15:44 says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. It says, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Look here. It says, this wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, or soulish, and devilish. Now, I'm not making this up. It's right here in the Bible. It says that in James chapter 3, verse 13 through 15, these be they mockers who separate themselves sensual or soulish, not having the Spirit. Not having the Spirit. In these verses, the adjective soulish describes man's body wisdom and mockers. Why? Between the soul and the spirit. And it is made more explicit by the proper understanding of the term soulish. In a soulish person, the word of God becomes information that is stored in the mind. It is never translated into the person's heart. It will enable them to talk the talk, but never walk the walk. A soulish mindset can influence every area of a person's life. And it can establish behavioral patterns, also affect the way in which people interact with other people. But the most serious problem with living in this soulish realm is there exists the potential for deception through your emotions. You can be tempted to believe that the goosebumps during the worship service is an indication that your personal life meets with God's approval. You see, within the soulish realm, when emotions are allowed to flow unchecked, get this. Real spiritual discernment decreases. It's a trick. It's a trick. When a person operates through the spirit, through the soulish realm, in their own mind, they can be made to think that their life is in perfect order with God. And that therefore the voices they hear and the feelings they experience must be from God. But the Bible says in Romans 8:14 that the things of God are to be discerned in our spirits by the Holy Spirit. And that's why Paul wrote, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." So, there's a requirement, and I'm going somewhere, just stick with me. There's a requirement that you got to be able to discern the voice of God in your own heart. You got to be able to walk in the spirit and in sonship with God. And it has nothing to do, and it can't be measured by religious exercises. So why are you talking about this? As Christians, we don't cease to have emotions. When God made us, He equipped us with them. He gave us the ability to laugh and have joy and be emotional people. But the danger comes in when we allow our emotions to lead us, rather than bring them under the subjection, under the control of the Holy Spirit. So what are you saying? like I observed in that church that day, and I've seen it many, many times. I have seen ministry leaders manipulate congregants in a lot of different ways. And then the people think, oh, wow, if I speak like what they speak, then the spirit will move. Or if I shake a little and scream a little, I'll get what they got and I'll have more God. I want you to hear something this morning. You open yourself up for serious soulish realm demonic activity by copycatting. If it doesn't come from God, then it has to come from the devil, because it ain't but two realms, God and the devil. If you think you can look at something and get it, then you become a thief and a robber, and you ain't getting nothing but a soulish realm counterfeit. Because God doesn't need any kind of help to make us know him, see him, hear him, feel him, and or experience him. Jesus is our example of perfectly balanced emotions. Jesus ran the gamut of emotional expression, but Jesus' feelings were always displayed in his submission to the will of his Father. Some of you manifested in that soulish realm, and your submission is to your own mind, which has been manipulated, whether intentional or unintentional, I do not know. But you know. Jesus said, don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does. Okay, so Erica, where are you going with this? I'm going right here. I know a person that went to a church, and the whole prayer team, the whole church, laid hands on the person. Person was in need of healing, but the person had been healed. When the church laid hands on the person started dying. Why did they start dying? Because I'm not saying it was everybody. I'm saying it was somebody in the prayer group who was operating through false signs, operating through soulish realm power. And let me tell you what, remember I read up there to you when I first started reading the scriptures, 2 Corinthians, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. People operating through soulish realm power have a tendency, number one, they talk too much, unless God should be the order of the day. Because when you start doing all that talking, you can very easily tip over into mind control, domination, and manipulation. Why? Because you're getting away, they have gotten away from something they never had in the first place. So what they do is they talk and they use a form of neuro-linguistic programming, NLP, and they're trying to use mind control, psychological power, and they think that by their much speaking, something gonna do something. And they also generally think my way or no way. If you don't do it my way, you ain't got it. If you don't do it my way, you ain't gonna get it. This is the way, brothers and sisters. So your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. It says the biggest problem, one of them, sorry, I ain't got all the answers, but I know this. I know the difference between soulish realm power and the power of the Holy Spirit. I know the difference between when soulish realm power is used and the people using it will take master demons, bigger demons, that then overpower your power of the Holy Spirit. And the only way that they can overpower your power of the Holy Spirit is because you yielded it to them. You yielded it to them. Either you were so desperate or you were such a victim that you just wanted your value to be determined and displayed. And you know what else? That you love God so much that you're willing to try anything. And Satan says, here I am. Here I am. And this stuff happens in the church all the time. They actually will tell you this is the only way. And when they put that bear hug on you, because you let them do it and you're in agreement with them, you will receive, what it say right here? You will receive, 2 Corinthians 11, another spirit. And that spirit you receive comes right out of the sensual and the soulless realm. So you're saying, well, Erica, wait a minute, wait. You still ain't told me what that is. How do you think psychics heal? What do you think psychic power is? What do you think New Age power is? It's power that is soulish realm. What is the soul, the heart, the mind, the will, the emotions, the intellect of a person? And what do they call it? Energy. All come together in one place. Witches can heal. Satanists can heal. Jesus never said they didn't have power. He said he forbids you to use it. And if you don't know the difference, and if you want something so bad, you'll accept anything. Why? Because your discernment is not working like it should be. No, excuse me. Well, there is a difference between discernment and the gift of discerning of spirits. Your discernment can be tricked. Because when you use discernment, you're going on exponential knowledge. Brothers and sisters, I have seen whole churches taken captive by this stuff. I've seen people beat demons out. You know, beat them. Take a board and beat them. I've seen people do, and I have seen people die behind this stuff. That is kind of why I wanted to do the Wednesday thing. I wanted to expose some of this stuff. But it's so negative. So, if a person is practicing Christian witchcraft, And you got Christian witches. Make no mistake about it. They are professing Christian witches. I'll try to read you. I got confessions from them and everything else. But the Bible says Satan himself transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, meaning lying ministers of righteousness, according to Satan. And why would the Bible say he have ministers if he don't have them? Person who went to a church seeking help. Actually, I'm not saying it's the pastor, but I find it, and there are a lot of pastors that don't discern. They don't discern nothing. The Bible says here in Galatians that these are works of the flesh. Works of the flesh. And one of those big works right there is witchcraft. And witchcraft ain't always somebody riding the broom. Witchcraft starts out with pure as a stubborn and rebelliousness. Is as the sin of witchcraft. So now we can say in this person's church is a spirit of witchcraft. And if you have the real Holy Spirit, God tried to warn you, but you wouldn't listen to God. He will warn you. He will warn you when you're stepping into the soulish realm works of the devil or the soulish realm works of man. Man. The devil working through man. This spirit has taken out many churches, many pastors, and many Christians. Because here's why it's so bad. Some of them lay hands on you. Some of them hug you. And some of them say, turn around and hug three people. Well, brothers and sisters, surely you understand about transference of spirits and coming into agreement. The minute you turn, you come into agreement. The minute you hug, you're in agreement. And the stronger spirit is going to prevail. Meaning, I have a lust demon, and if my lust demon is bigger than your religion, because you don't really know Jesus, then after that hug, you now have whatever you had, and you got my lust demon too. The Bible talks about it. God says, Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. Listen, devils and demons have discerning ability. They have discerning ability. Why would you say that, Erica? Well, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 tells us the Bible is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And the devil and his crew pervert everything that is of God. So they make a point. They want to know. They want to ask you every question imaginable. So they demons, when they get ready to do the transference, has everything it needs to work with against you. But this is the point right here. Jesus said, in my name shall they cast out devils. shall they cast out devils. They have to be cast out. Demons can't be loved out. They can't be romanced out. Can't be rubbed out. And they can't be hugged out. What happens is a complete transference of the complete soul of that person to the person they hugging, laying hands on, or rubbing. Rubbing. You know the proverbial, oh, I'm going to rub your back. Yeah, you rubbing it, all right. Demons can't be massaged. So when they doing that rubbing, when they doing that massaging, when they doing that hugging, you are receiving what is in the other person. And they got a legal right because you came into agreement with them. Hug me. I'm ministering to a man now. He paid $15,000 to be delivered. And when I told him, I said, you know what? You bought yourself $15,000 worth of demons. He got mad with me. Demons operate in the soulish area and the physical body of a believer. They cannot penetrate your soul, your spirit, because your body is just like the temple of God. Your flesh is the outer court, your soul is the inner court, but your spirit man is the Holy of Holies. That was sealed by the Holy Ghost the day you asked Jesus to come into your heart. He sealed that. But not your soul. Your soul and not your body. The Bible say the body got to die and the soul got to be what? Transformed. Transformed into the image and likeness of God. Transformed. So you went in the church and these people who, you got people who specifically operate in this area. Yep, they do. They come in to take over. It may not be the pastor. It may not even be the pastor's intention. The pastor may not even know they under subjection to the soulish realm works of a false worker of iniquity. Sometimes known as a witch. They don't have the agenda of the person of the leadership. They have their own agenda. They come with their own agenda. Their sole purpose is to be productive in their own agenda. The focus is not on Christ. The focus is on and about their feelings. It is about what they want God to do for them. It is about how controlling and how the depth of the control they could control the fleshly emotions or the soul of another person and or persons are born with that transferred down to them. And some people are born with what they call the charismata. The charismata. You heard the term. That person has so much charisma. It is the charismata of God. Some people are born, they like to say born leaders. People just follow them. In the original pattern of creation, brothers and sisters, your spirit man comes directly from God and relates to God. The soul got to make a decision. God moved upon your spirit. And your spirit now moves upon your soul. And your soul directs your body. Because of Adam's fall, the soul took over control. As a result, unregenerated man is controlled by the three functions of his soul, his will, his intellect, and his emotions. When God reconciles a man or a woman to himself, his purpose, once reconnected, is to restore the original order. The original order, where God once again relates directly to your spirit. And then your spirit in turn, hallelujah, moves into and upon your soul. And then your soul moves upon your body of a man or a woman. It comes from their spirit, passes through their soul, and out of their physical body comes the virtue of God to bring about healing. If a person is still led, directed by their own soul, they're directed by their own will, by their own mind, by their own intellect, and God is not in it. That's why David said in Psalm 103:1, I believe, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." David's spirit had been reunited with God. His spirit was eager to worship God. His spirit stirred up his soul to move upon his vocal cords to utter the appropriate words to God. As long as a man or a woman remains in submission to God, his soul is in submission to God. And he functions in harmony with God and himself. But if at any time man reasserts his or her rebellion against God, his or her soul is no longer in submission. The unity, the harmony is broken. What this means is there's a constant tension between the spirit and the soul. Brothers and sisters, if the soul, which is sensual, worldly, unspiritual, leaves, it is an open door for demons. It's an open door for demons. Your spirit has to move through your soul in order to get out of your body. I'm afraid too many people are transferring too much stuff through the soulish realm part of themselves and not God. I'm afraid that too many people still walking around here according to their own lust, according to their own sensual, soulish desires, with a soul that is unsurrendered and has not been submitted to God, but because of their own selfish, prideful desires for power and to be a great one and to rule and lord over people, they downward slide a progression from God to the earthly, soulish realm of the demonic. You see, when Christian believers become soulish, they lose. They don't have it. They can't even possess a vision of eternity because they cannot see. They cannot comprehend then the success, the pleasure, the wealth, the physical health. They are only interested in what their faith will do for them in this life. Paul says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. Pitiable. Soulish. It's to be egocentric, self-centered, and self-seeking. To be soulish, those people want to get what they want out of life. And they see godliness as a means of gain. And this soulish way opens the way for demons. This is the main way in which demons infiltrate the church. Brothers and sisters, this soulish way, this earthly soulish way, this direct connect demons exposes individual believers and whole congregations to the activity of demons. Because there is no barrier. No barrier exists to stop demons in the soulish realm. You got to learn, you got to cultivate the gift of discerning of spirits, brothers and sisters. The Bible says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division, see this, of soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, the division of the joints and the marrow. The Bible says solid food belongs to those who are full age. That is, who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. It's a lot of people walking around here in the church, from the church, with legions. Legions, cause of the acts of their soulish realm desires has brought them into. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 16, 13, 14, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Let all that you do be done with love. The soul varies from one person to another person. It cannot be stereotyped. Each man or woman of God has their own particular uniqueness. Because of this variation in the souls of all men, it makes sense that the life of soulish believers will vary from person to person. And I'm only talking here in general terms. In general terms. Brothers and sisters, you got to ask yourself, how many people have you had lay hands on you, touch you, and you feel absolutely drained? You got to go lay down. How many people have you had lay hands on you, touch you, hug you? I hate that hugging. And then all of a sudden, you don't know where the sickness came from, but you just wake up sick. Well, I'm here to tell you, a transference of spirits took place. Certainly inherited, generational, historical, cultural transference of spirits. But there can be a physical manifestation of a transference of spirit through touch. For those soulish realm believers, because they generally assume an attitude of self-righteousness. Check out the Jezebelic nature. You'll see it. Brothers and sisters, the Bible says, know them that labor among you. When a mind transference has taken place due to the fact of a soulless realm believer trying to infiltrate and program your mind, fuse, mix. Why? Because it's being defiled. Cause your mind to run wild. Even to the point where you lose desire to read the Bible because you just won't listen to them. Be careful. Be careful. Be careful. They're going to look for carnal believers. They're going to look for God seekers. I hate to say it. Because deep in their heart, their whole objective is to rule. They're going to look for people that have a sphere of influence over other people. Because in their heart, they know, if I can take over that person, I can take over everybody they influence. And boy, are they great persuaders when they're trying to take over your soul and trying to make people feel like you got the problem. Because they're perfectly right. When these soulless realm people are neglected, they become angry. When they suspect attitudes changing around them, they get hurt. They quickly want to become have influence. You know why? Because they thrive on affection. They want to exhibit this false sentimentality that they're inseparable from you, when in actuality they sucking you dry. They sucking you dry. They living off somebody else's anointing. Could be yours. Because they're very adept. They're very adept at identifying the anointed and the gifted. Brothers and sisters, I hope I get an opportunity to teach more on this. I'm just touching the surface. I'm giving you enough to watch out. I'm giving you some stuff to think about. And if you know you've been around those soulless realm activities and soulless realm power, repent. God to deliver you from everything they transferred to you. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19, I think that's right. When words are many, transgression is not lacking. Sin. You're doing all that talking to take captive your mind. Because they don't know anything about the simplicity of the gospel. Paul said he came not in demonstration of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the power of God. Examine yourself. See if some of that is part of your hold back. Soulless realm livers, they have the capacity to receive knowledge, but they lack the spiritual capacity to be humble and use it according to the will of God, because they have an innate soulish realm desire to rule. Their outward man has not been broken, brothers and sisters. No matter how much they try to give glory to God and acknowledge any merit from God as His grace, they can't do it because they have their mind set on building themselves a kingdom and ruling. They have yet to fully embrace and fully enter into Christ Jesus. So they're operating out of their soul. Bad. Because everything they do chiefly depends upon how they feel. How they feel. And they cannot ignore their feelings, because that's their God. They live in a world of outer confusion and inner unrest. Their hearts are governed by outward matters, and they distract it. They cannot. They cannot appropriate the law of faith, which is God's law of action. So they operate through a law of fault finding, criticizing, self-sufficiency, and a false superiority. Follow their own souls, and they operate on their own soulish realm power, completely lacking in true spiritual insights. They're guided by sudden thoughts, sudden flashes. Profitable in the kingdom of God. They do not, because they cannot rely entirely upon God. They depend upon their selves instead of trusting the Holy Spirit to reveal man's need and God's supply. They're much speaking that they can deliver to move hearts. Their speech doesn't convey the truth, brothers and sisters, because without the quickening of the Holy Spirit, there will be very little spiritual fruit. I think that's all I'm going to say about this today. I hope you learned something. I tell you what, check it out for yourself. Don't believe me. I might be lying to you. And you examine yourself. And examine any other man or woman of God that's telling the truth. Renounce that soulless realm. Works. Ask God to show you the truth and live in what he shows you. He wants you to be free. He wants you to possess all of himself. Remember, the Lord your God is a jealous God, and he will have no other God before him. I'll see you tomorrow on the deadline, Sister Erica.
This is a song that my father-in-law wrote. The title of the song is You Keep On Blessing Me.
Yes.
Over and over again.
Yes.
Come on, y'all.
Over and over again.
Here we go.
Come
Let's
on.
Try this. Clap your hands. Come on.
Woo! Oh, yeah.
Keep on!